God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we now ask that you pour your Holy Spirit upon us. Fill us to overflowing with all your fullness. That the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together will be acceptable in your sight through Jesus Christ. Amen. And what a great text for Christ the King Sunday, where it declares to us that Christ is all in all. Many scholars believe that Paul is quoting an early Christian hymn or creedal statement just after his prayer for the Colossians. The word all is used 10 times in this short text declaring who Christ is. So who is this Christ? Paul tells us in this ancient hymn, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the one in whom all things are created, who is before all things, and in whom all things hold together. He is the first of all things, and all the fullness of God dwells in Christ. And all things are reconciled to God through him. Christ is the one worthy to be worshiped this day as our King, our Lord, our God, in whom we trust. Folks, I usually use this great text at a funeral service where it declares not just the wonder of who Christ is, but the wonder of what Christ has done for us. It would be well to take this text and spend time meditating on it as you would a starlit sky at night or the sun rising over the ocean during the day. As the creation declares the glory of God, Christ, in whom and for whom all things have been created, declares the character of God. For through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. The blood of the cross is a metaphor, folks, for life and death. Blood represents life. The cross represents death. For you read in Philippians, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Cross. There, on the cross. On the cross, we see the fullness of God's character. It's utterly astounding that the Godhead, the creator, the end of the earth, the God of the universe became flesh, dwelt among us, took upon himself our sin, and has rescued us, as Paul wrote, from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Folks, Christ being all in all is the foundation for Paul's prayer for the Colossians, which opens our text today. A prayer which speaks to our lives also. It's interesting to note the lectionary begins this text in verse 11, halfway through the prayer, which actually begins in verse 9. I sat with this for a while this past week trying to make sense of it and decided the text works best by including the entire prayer, which reads, we've not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure all things with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. This is a many-layered prayer revealing three character traits that are manifest in the lives of those who seek to follow Jesus by becoming like him. First, they will live lives worthy of the Lord. Second, they will be made strong. And third, they will give thanks. Live lives worthy of the Lord. Christ is all in all. We're to be like him. How do we do this? Well, the apostle wrote, by being filled with all the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Simply put, right thinking leads to right living. Wrong thinking leads to wrong living. Knowledge in the biblical sense is not just having information about God, but knowing God. Knowing God in the whole person, body, mind, and soul. Many of us who confess the name of Jesus are practical atheists for all intents and purposes. That is to say, we're not walking the talk. In short, we're not living lives that are fully pleasing to God, as Paul wrote. The stress here is on fully pleasing to God. A life fully pleasing to God is a virtuous life that ultimately learns to love, even as Jesus loves. Remember from last week, this is the holiness tradition. Folks, we need to be thoughtful about this and see a distinction here in God's mind that we often fail to make in our own minds. The fact is, my life falls short of being lived to the glory of God. This displeases God. And although God may be displeased with my behavior, as a parent may be with a child, God is never displeased with me. Never. In Christ, I am always and always will be his beloved son, in whom he is well pleased. God loves the sinner, even when he hates my sin. There are, however, a few of us who can make that distinction. That is, love the sinner while hating the sin. When we discern sin in a person's life, something we don't like, we move from discernment to judgment. We have much growing in the knowledge of God so we can live lives fully pleasing to God. And like Jesus, discern the sin without judging the sinner. Folks, we can't live lives worthy of the Lord on our own. We need the second character trait of which Paul wrote of life in Christ. He prayed, may you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. Remember from last week, this is the charismatic tradition. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is his glorious power. It's the same power that strengthens us in body, mind, and spirit, in our souls, so that we can be like Jesus. We can love like Jesus. The Greek word for power used in our text today is only used in reference to the power of God in the New Testament. This power, when manifested in us, translated here as strength, enables us to live like Jesus, to love like Jesus. Folks, this is the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives us minds, not only to comprehend God, but souls to apprehend God, and equips us to consecrate our bodies as living sacrifices to God. Information in our minds will never be enough to sustain life in Christ. Information is not enough. Our souls, our very souls, must be filled with all the fullness of God. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. as we seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. The strengthening is not a one-time event. The God who first opened my eyes to see the reality of the gospel will continue to open my eyes as I seek his kingdom and his righteousness. That's my part, to seek. This is a lifelong journey with many stops and pitfalls along the way, but the Spirit will never leave me, will never forsake me. No matter how often I stumble, no matter how often I fall along the way, God stays with me. Now, it's interesting, reading this text, the apostle stops here in his discussion of the three character traits of life in Christ to discuss three virtues or fruit of the Spirit, which are the result of being made strong with all the strength of his glorious power. They are endurance, long-suffering, and joy. Endurance is the ability to persevere in the face of life's challenges and hardships. No matter what the obstacle, the person persists in seeking to reach the goal like an athlete who refuses to quit the race. I look back over my life. I think I've been pretty good at enduring, hanging in there, persevering when the going gets tough. That's a virtue that is part of my temperament, or so I thought. Long-suffering is different than endurance, in that it is revealed in the face of provocation. The flesh naturally reacts to provocation with a harsh word or even an act of revenge. But as we grow in the grace and knowledge of God, we become more like Jesus, who in a moment of supreme provocation prayed, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." I thought I was good at long-suffering, but these last 6 years have revealed my endurance and long-suffering were more stoic than of the Spirit. Stoicism was an ancient Greek philosophy that taught virtue is based on knowledge, information, not revelation knowledge as is in the faith of Christ, but information knowledge. The Stoic believed the wise live in harmony with divine reason, whatever that is, also referred to as in their minds as fate or providence that governs nature. The Stoic is indifferent to pleasure or pain, indifferent to failure or success. The best example of Stoicism would be the British stiff upper lip. This brings us to the third virtue that rises from living in the power of the Spirit, joy. I thought endurance and long-suffering were traits I possessed, but joy was not even on my list. I knew it. I did a word study in the Bible seeking to understand the joy of the Lord and came up with several pages of biblical verses that included the word joy. I can't look back over my life and say that I knew joy in my experience of endurance and long suffering. Something was wrong. I was more a Stoic than a follower of Jesus Christ. So my endurance and long suffering were of the flesh. We can endure, we can suffer in the flesh, not the Spirit. When that's the case, at some point, the flesh gives way, as it did for me. For eventually, I got angry. It took me 6 years to come to terms with my reaction, to understand what was really going on in my own mind and soul. In many ways, Stoicism, folks, looks like faith in Christ, except the follower of Jesus is something the Stoic lacks. Hope. Hope. Hope makes all the difference in the world. Now, our text this morning doesn't use the word hope, but it's implicit in claiming Christ to be all in all, Listen again. Christ is the invisible, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him, all things in heaven and on earth were created. Things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. Christ himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in all things. For in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. In other words, in all things, Christ is our hope. In all things, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, hope opens the way to endurance. Hope opens the way to long suffering. Hope opens the way to joy. So when our lives lack joy, the bottom line, they really lack hope. Folks, when we have hope, we can endure anything, anything, while manifesting long suffering with joy. Endurance. Long suffering. I thought I had plenty of that. And joy, which wasn't even on my list. Three virtues that rise up from being made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And now, having spoken of the three virtues that are fruit of the Spirit, Paul comes back to speaking of the three character traits of life in Christ. Remember, the first two character traits of life in Christ are living a life worthy of the Lord and being strengthened in the power of the Holy Spirit. And now the third, being thankful. I look back. I don't have a very good report card regarding the fruit of the Spirit. My endurance and long-suffering were more of the flesh, stoicism, than of the Spirit. Joy escaped me completely. I didn't do much better with the character traits of life in Christ, that is, living a life worthy of the Lord or being strengthened by the power of the Spirit. But I look back. Somehow I managed, through it all, somehow, I had a grateful heart. I was thankful. I've come to believe that gratitude is really the chief virtue of life. For even when I'm unloving, I can be grateful that God still loves me and forgives me. The reality of God's love for us in Christ ultimately is the motivating power of life in Christ. Gratitude. Folks, I encourage you to take time this week to meditate on this ancient hymn of the church. It reveals the nature of Christ's kingship and discover the power of living in the kingdom of God, becoming like Jesus as you grow in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that you may live lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. And there's the emphasis. Fully pleasing to him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.